Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
Man, today is an exciting day, and if we haven't met, my name is Keith, and it really is a privilege to serve alongside my wife, Amy, as the pastors here at Blaze Church, and to serve with this beautiful team that has just done incredible things. And so I want to say thank you again for being here today, and I'm hoping that when you walked in, you maybe noticed a balloon or two. Anyone seen a balloon in this room? Yeah, it's actually like 100 or 200 balloons in here, and so we really just wanted to go all out as we celebrate 5 years of God doing what only God could do through this space. And man, there's going to be a whole lot of clapping and shouting today, and so I don't know if you got a cup of coffee on your way in, but you're going to definitely get one on your way out. And let's just praise Jesus for coffee. It's back, everybody. It's been gone since March 15th. And so we say, you know, we're bringing the coffee back for today. But I'm grateful that you're here. And we really are celebrating what God has been doing through Blaze Church. It was October 4th, 2015, that we came here for our first service. And 5 years to the day, here we are in this space. And I don't use this word to diminish anything God has done. This is a miracle. There really is no other word. I want you to understand the weight of that word, a miracle, that when we came here, a church that was really kind of just hanging on and on its way out, and it's not because we came, it's because we humbled ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit, and he's been doing great things ever since for 5 years. He's the one who's been doing amazing things. And so for 5 years now, we've just been celebrating, and today is really going to be about remembering, but more so, I want to cast vision for where we believe God is calling us in the next 5 years. And so that number 5, we see it in Scripture. It's actually a symbolic number for God's grace and his favor. All throughout Scripture, when you see that number 5 come up, you're getting another picture of God's grace. What's his grace? It's that undeserved, can't work for it, unmerited love, that God would look at us and just... You even sing about his amazing grace and his favor that's on us as we continue to honor our God. And so today we're celebrating that, his provision, his faithfulness, and all the joy that's in our heart. It's not fabricated through balloons, lights, and other things. It's truly the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we're excited today to have God's joy in us. I figured I might as well share a story that Jesus told that was about a party. On a party day, I said, man, there's got to be a story in there where Jesus talked about a party, and he did. He told what's called a parable about the great banquet or the wedding banquet. And so a parable is simply a story that has earthly meaning. It has earthly things that we can understand, but behind it is heavenly principles. Behind it is really Jesus, the storyteller, teaching us about himself, teaching us about the abundant life that we experience when we walk in the Spirit and know God. And so I'm going to share this story that Jesus starts off, and like most parables, he says the kingdom of heaven is like, and I want you to remember that because Jesus is telling us about him. And so in it, we're going to hear about this king that's preparing a wedding banquet, and you're going to identify as a servant in this story. You're going to see who God has called you to be when you respond yes to the invitation that God is making. And really, I want to show you how Jesus talked about this party and how God is calling us to bring this to this community in greater ways over the next 5 years. So to do that, we're going to read in Matthew and Luke. And so Matthew was a disciple of Jesus. Luke was actually a physician who traveled with Paul and wrote Luke and Acts, a lot of the New Testament. That's the third and the fifth book of the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. And Luke, being a doctor, I think he cared a lot about details. Some of you who are in the medical field, I mean, you don't just be like, what's the blood pressure? I don't know, round it off. Just that you wouldn't have a very successful practice if that was it. You get it down to the point, whatever. And so you're going to see that as Luke shares some details of the story Jesus told, it helps us understand the totality of this parable. So we're going to read Matthew and Luke together. It'll be on the screen behind me. But let's see what it starts off with. Matthew chapter 22, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Now, I want to pause because here we are on Long Island, and we do big weddings here, don't we? Come on, we do some real big, we start our marriages in debt because of how big we do our weddings. So I'm going to encourage you, don't do that, okay? Save them for the marriage, not for the wedding day. But when we do a big wedding on Long Island, it really has nothing compared to the weddings that this parable is going to talk about in the first century Jewish culture. And remember, Jesus said there was a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And so this is going to be like the party to end all parties. Like, it's almost going to be as good as Blaze's fifth birthday party. Not quite there, but I'm just joking there. But it's just going to be a massive party that this king is about to throw. And so we're going to see what happens as the king gets ready and prepares this wedding banquet. So he sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them, what's that word there, to come. He sends out his servants that were invited, and he says, come. But they refused to come. Now, what you also need to know to understand this story in this culture is in this day, there were really two invitations that went out. When a party was being put together, the first invitation would go to invite the guests and say, you're invited to this party. And so notice Jesus says they were already invited. They had been invited. And in essence, they had said, yeah, we're going to go to this thing. The king has invited us. I mean, when the king invites you to a wedding party for his son, what would be the natural answer? You should respond with, yes, king, I will go. But then when the second invite goes out, or really the announcement to come, they all refuse. Now, Jesus' audience at this moment is not talking in the fields. There aren't crowds around. Luke actually tells us that he was invited to attend a dinner at the house of a prominent Pharisee. And what that means is a prominent Pharisee is just what the first century would have called a very important religious person. And so here's this important religious leader. He invites Jesus over for dinner. Jesus says yes, which is a great honor for that host. Like, I don't know who's coming over your house later for chili and kickoff, but imagine if it was Jesus, right? You probably wouldn't be here right now. You'd be stressing out. Like, Jesus is coming. We need the best of the best. He said yes. He's going to be our guest. And so Jesus gets there to this religious leader's house, and he starts to tell a story about a wedding feast that probably puts to shame the dinner that he's having right there. And could you just imagine the host if he was thinking, man, what would I do if you said no to me? That would bring so much shame on me. So in this story, the king actually has every right to respond with executing those who refuse to come. It was his right to say, fine, that's treason. You told me you would be here, and now you're saying no. So a king would be justified in bringing judgment and execution on those who refuse to come. Now, don't miss this, because all throughout this story, remember, what's a parable? It has earthly things, but it has a heavenly meaning. Jesus is telling us about himself. He's really sharing with us the gospel, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so let's connect some dots here. If God is preparing this great wedding banquet and the king is inviting us to come, now there's response. Do we say yes? Do we say no? So what do the guests say? Well, they already said no. So does the king execute them? No. It says, then he sent some more servants. If you say that fast enough, you get s'more servants. There's cupcakes outside, and I'm just thinking about it already. Then he sent s'more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. And my oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. See, this is where Arby's got their slogan, we have the meats from. The king is, we've got the meats. It's all ready. I mean, I got the Wagyu, like the best of the best. The fattened cattle has been butchered. Really, that term there, the fattened calf or the fattened cattle, that one animal was fattened enough to feed an entire village in this culture. It's just every day, we just make sure, Bessie, here's some more grass. You just wait. It's just, you vegetarians are not looking too happy with me right now, but that's just what, I'm just reading what they would do. And so here it is, the fattened calf has been butchered and my dinner is prepared. What I want you to see is that instead of the king responding in a way that one might expect with instant execution, instant judgment, do you capture the king's heart of love here? Don't you see? He's relentless. He's, no, you don't get it. I'm inviting you to something big. I'm inviting you to come and have relationship with me and be in my presence and experience this wedding banquet. Tell them I've stopped at nothing. Everything is prepared. Like, they don't want to miss this. Make sure they know. So the servant goes back and says all this, but look at what the response is. They paid no attention, and they went off, one to his field and another to his business. And this is where I want to show you what Luke records, because Luke, having detail mind, he remembers that Jesus told exactly what the excuses were. It says, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. And another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Now, I want to I want to summarize these excuses for you, and I'm going to call them this. These are lame excuses. You might say, what do you mean it's lame excuses? Marriage, property is... Let's read that again and use the gift God's given us, cognitive thinking in our brains first. Just read this. Look at that first one. The first one said, I just bought a field and I must go see it. Anyone else think that's a little backwards there? You just bought a field and now you're going to go see it? Like, you didn't see it first before you bought it? Do you see how lame this excuse? Look at the next one. He says, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. A yoke of oxen would be a pair. So this guy's got some money. He's wealthy. He bought 10 oxen. And he says, I got to go try them out. Again, you try it before you buy it, bro. Like, this is a lame excuse. What do you mean you just bought them and now you want to try them? And even a third one saying, I just got married. Understand, in this culture and in this communal environment, the village would have known when there was a wedding coming up. They would have known when the king's son's wedding was. Nobody's going to plan a wedding around the same time. What I want you to get from this is something that I can do, and I believe all of us can do. It's where we get more consumed with our own kingdoms than with the kingdom of God. It's where we start to look at the good things God has given to us, because none of these things are wrong. A relationship and marriage, and really if we were to bring it into context today, acquiring property, increasing our net worth, and growing financially and purchases, none of these things are inherently wrong. But understand, when a good thing becomes a supreme thing, it often becomes a bad thing. Say it again, when a good thing in our lives, when our own kingdoms become supreme to us and more important than the kingdom of God, it actually becomes dangerous. It actually becomes bad for our relationship with him, because too often I can make excuses about what God's calling me to and the invitation that he's making to come and be with him and say, yeah, but God, I just want to finish this first. I'm really involved in this. And maybe next week, maybe tomorrow, maybe next month. And so these invitees all start making excuses. And now we see what the king does. It says that the servant came back and replied to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry. Who believes he's justified? I think it's right for him to be a little angry at this moment. And he ordered his servant. Now notice what he orders him. Now all of a sudden the king's attention is going to shift. Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in, read this part with me. I want you to get this. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Now, Jesus' religious audience, when they heard those 4 categories of people mentioned in this story, they would have found disgust at this moment. No self-respecting king is going to have in his presence, at his son's banquet, the marginalized, the overlooked, the broken down, the forgotten, those who add no benefit to his status. Like, if the king is trying to make this about himself and his son, he's not going to invite these people to this party. He wants the best of the best. But what we're seeing in this story is that the king invites people not based on who they are, but based on who he is. This is a good king. This is a king that says, no, the poor, the blind, the crippled, they're not doing anything for me. They can't earn invitation to this party, but I'm going to invite them. I'm going to make sure they know that they are invited to have relationship with me and come to this wedding feast. And so the servant goes to these populations and starts inviting. And look what he says. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done. Say this with me. But there is still room. He's saying, King, like, we've been doing this thing for a while now. We've been telling everybody, but there's still room. And we're seeing that even in the kingdom of God, there is room for you today. You might think that you're disqualified or that God wouldn't want you, but I'm telling you, there is room for you to know Jesus today. It goes on, the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and to Route 24 and to 105 and to the traffic circles and to Quag and to Riverhead and to Southampton. Go out everywhere. And what's that word? Say it nice and strong with me. And compel. Come on, compel them. He tells his servants, we're not going to be content with knowing that there are people all over this community that don't know there is a God who is inviting them to know him. He's really saying, go be trailblazers. Go out and blaze the way that people might know me. Compel them. And I love this phrase, so that my house will be full. Peter tells us that God's will is that none should perish, but all might have everlasting life. I want you to understand that God's will is that you would know him today, that you would experience the abundant life that Jesus has come to make available to us. And I just love that phrase, so that my house may be full. In fact, right now, I'm going to ask you to do something. Just look around this room wherever you are. Make your neighbor feel awkward and uncomfortable as you stare them down for quite a few seconds. Don't do that. Start looking back up at me. They're starting to get nervous. The introverts do not like this at all. I just want you to see something, because in just a few moments, we're going to show you a presentation that we made showing God's grace and favor from day one, October 4th, 2015, till today. And I'm telling you, when we first started, there was 7 adults in this space in one service at 10 a.m. And now to date, we have on average over 160 people coming out in 3 services, and we're still climbing out of a pandemic. Someone give God praise for that, that we're just seeing what God is doing. And I don't say that because it's about numbers or attendance, but I want you to understand the Father's heart is that his house would be full. And that's really referring to the kingdom of God. We're not trying to build a blaze kingdom in this community. We're trying to advance the kingdom of God. I have one pastor friend who says it this way: we want to plunder hell and populate heaven. We want to make sure that as many people as can understand the gospel, and that they would have repeated opportunities to put their faith in Jesus to have God's house full. So look what happens. So the servant, he does this. He goes out into the streets and he gathered all the people they could find. Say this with me: the bad as well as the good. I'm going to talk about that in a second. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. I found that too often we think that we can disqualify ourselves from the amazing grace and love of God. That maybe even today you came to church and you just feel like, man, this thing's never going to work for me. I'm just too bad. I'm too disqualified. There's no way God can forgive me. There's no way he wants me. And I want to call out every lie of the enemy that's going on in your head right now, because that is not the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is that all are invited to put their faith in the saving work of Jesus, that this thing does not depend on you, that Christ came and lived the perfect life in your place so that you might confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you are saved. It's a promise of Scripture that Jesus explained to Nicodemus in John 3 that we are born again, that there is a new birth that takes place, and it's not because you're good enough. It's because God is. It's because Jesus lived the perfect sinless life for you and died on a cross so that you might put your faith in him and be made new. And so I just love that picture there that Jesus gives, that this wedding hall is filled just with ragtag followers. I mean, think of Jesus' own ministry. He had Peter, who didn't know how to close his mouth at all. He had James and John, known as the sons of thunder, that repeatedly tried to call down fire on cities they didn't like. He had Judas. He had a tax collector. I mean, these were the guys that Jesus said, come, follow me. Now, truthfully, if Jesus ended the parable there, we would have a good story. We would have some gospel understanding, but he doesn't end it there. In fact, the way he ends it is probably going to cause the most confusion, conviction, and probing for our hearts. But we have to read the rest of the story because it gives us the fullness of the gospel. So look at what Jesus says. I'm going to read it in its entirety and then do my best to explain it. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Now, what I want you to understand in this culture, that the king has provided everything for his guests, hasn't he? He's provided the invite, he's provided the meal, he's provided the place, and the king would have provided exactly what to wear to be at that wedding. Think if you're a bridesmaid and the bride has chosen blue and you show up on the wedding day in pink. You know what we call that? Bridezilla. It's just not going to go well for you, because you've been provided what you need to wear at this wedding. Don't miss this. Remember, parable, earthly things with a heavenly meaning. And so the king goes in and notices someone who's not wearing what the king has provided. And he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? Notice still the love of the king. But you're my friend. Why aren't you wearing what I provided for you? It says the man was speechless. And then the king told the attendants, this is where it seems so harsh. Why is the response of the king this way? Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. And it almost seems like, Jesus, why is the response of the king so drastic? Like, why that? Why is there this tying and this casting outside? And now this imagery that the Jewish culture would have understood as like destruction and separation, this eternal darkness, all for not putting a tie on? The dude just didn't wear the right suit, Jesus. What do you mean that he's going to be cast out? So what I want you to understand that the gospel declares is that none of us in our own selves are righteous enough for a holy God. In fact, I like what the prophet Isaiah says. He says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Now understand, when Isaiah makes this statement, he's not talking about after a relationship with God. He's talking about how we look before we know Jesus. Really, it's almost like if I were to end my Sunday and say, God, did you see what I did today? I was at church, 3 services, Lord. I read my Bible. I gave some money. I helped people. I served others. Look at all this goodness. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, God says, man, that's filthy. What do you mean that's filthy? Well, all of our good works can't earn for us the unmerited, undeserved grace and favor of our God. That it's not about us trusting in us. In fact, Isaiah goes on to say, Lord, don't remember our sins forever. Someone give God praise that he does not remember our sins forever because of Jesus Christ. Because he has taken our sins and removed it from us as far as the east is from the west. And so we don't show up to the wedding banquet putting on our own righteousness and our own clothes. God will look and say, no, that's not how you get entry into this. Yes, all have been invited, but to identify with one as chosen, you have put on what Christ has provided. In fact, Paul says it this way in Corinthians, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Stop trusting in your own righteousness and your own good works, because those are filthy rags. And do as Paul says, clothe yourselves in Jesus Christ. Come on, that means wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'm not putting on Keith. I am a new creation. The old is gone. I'm clothed in Jesus. That God doesn't look at me and think that I'm great. He looks at me and he saved me and sees the work of his son and the work of the Holy Spirit. And now I'm a son or daughter of God. I'm chosen. I've responded yes to the invitation. And so here it is, the king looks out. Jesus tells us this is the kingdom of heaven is like. This is the gospel. And that means today, Blaze Church, that we don't trust in ourselves. We don't trust in our own good works. We trust in what's been provided for us. The king himself has created this wedding banquet. The king himself laid down his life so that we might trust in him, so that we might respond yes to the invitation. Now, I'm using a lot of imagery here, so maybe it's just, how do I put on Christ? Well, scripture tells us very clearly, we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we are saved. Acts says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. In fact, if you know this scripture, say it with me. For God so loved the world. Notice there, it's not some of the world. It's not one country. It's not part of the world. No, God so loved the world that he gave his son that, what's that word there? That whosoever. I want you to know today, you are invited to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That there's nothing you and yourself can do to qualify you or disqualify you from knowing God as Lord and Savior. But rather, Jesus has completed the work so that you might put your faith and your trust in him. And today, we're celebrating 5 years as a church. It's our birthday. But I want you to know that if you've never put your faith in Jesus, today is your birthday specifically. Come on, I'll say that again. In church, we celebrate today someone's birthday because they're about to be born again as they put their faith in Jesus Christ. And just as we sang, going from dead to alive by saying, no, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. And so in just a few moments, I'm going to encourage you, lead you in a prayer. But today we really are. We're excited and thankful for God's grace and his favor over these 5 years, just seeing all that God has done and being servants of the king to go out and compel people to come in so that they might know God, so that his house might be full. And so we prepared this presentation that really, it just shows you some of what this place has looked like and what God has done through this church starting October 4, 2015, when we first came here. And so as you watch this, we don't have any tissues. So if you tear up, just use your mask. Double it up as a tissue if you need to. But I want you to take a look at what this place looked like. And then I'm going to come up and I'm going to share with you where we believe God's calling us in the next 5 years. And take a look at this presentation. Come on, give God your best praise this morning. Come on, let's just celebrate Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen. Man, it's just amazing to just see that through pictures, what God has done over 5 years. And just to think, man, when we started in that first year, when we came in that first year, we averaged 29 people on a Sunday in one service, and now averaging close to 150 people in 3 services. I had to give God some praise for that. There was a year and a half here where the kids ministry was Nate and Cece, my 2 kids. And now there's more than 30 kids every single Sunday that are knowing God. And man, a budget that has more than tripled as God has trusted us. You know, I really feel last year, God just put this word on our hearts where Jesus says, if you're faithful with a little, he'll trust you with a whole lot more. And that's really been what you've been doing, Blaze Church, is being faithful with what God has given us and saying, God, we're going to put it in your hands and we're going to watch you do. Scripture says even more than you can ask, think, or imagine. Like just try to imagine more than you can imagine. Like, that's God, and that's how big he is, and that's our Savior, and that's what God's calling us to do here. And so I'm excited because today, as we start now these next 5 years, I feel like as I was just this past week looking through scripture and pictures, and every one of those verses have been one that God has just continued to remind me of throughout this journey. And thinking of that number five, God's grace and his favor, God, what are you going to do in the next 5 years? Like a double portion of your grace and your favor on us and through us for this community. Now, I don't have to convince you much of this, but this room is just way too small. It's just way too small. And if you think this is small, downstairs is even smaller. Like, your kids are well taken care of, parents, I promise you, but it's small down there. And the kids team is real grateful for where God is leading us next. And so today I want to share with you, because we've been talking about this building. In fact, at the beginning of the year in March, we had a church survey where all of you guys who were there for our vision night were saying, man, we'd love to see these things. I was laughing with some people this past week because we put some things out there to say, what would we like in the new building? And the thing that got the least amount of responses was online campus upgrades. And then 2 weeks later, COVID hit. And we had to do online campus upgrades instantly. And so I know you were all grateful for that, but it just made me laugh. But we started talking, and God, that vision is still here. And so today on our fifth birthday, as to the day we start looking at the next 5 years, I'm excited to say that we fully believe that in the next 5 years, a new facility is going to be on this property. Come on, if you believe that, let's celebrate. He's going to do it. I believe it. And so I would love to show you what some of that might look like. So do you want to see something? If you don't want to, I won't do it. You could just ask the other two services. All right, so this is preliminary. Let me just say that this is super soft sketch. This week, I've talked with architect almost every day and contractors. Tomorrow, I'm meeting with another contractor, and our survey got started this past week. But this is just kind of dreaming. What could God do? And so look at this. This is a floor plan of what we believe could be on this property. I want to point out something here, because just one of these kids' classrooms is way bigger than just this room up here. Come on, kids team. Be excited about that, because just like stepping over the two-year-old. I'm just joking. Just don't look downstairs right now. We'll get them up soon. But just imagine what God can do. And again, we're just dreaming, God, what size building could you lead us to be building on this property? Not to advance Blaze Church, but to advance the mission of Jesus in a community that needs to know the gospel. And so look at this, because I think this picture is even, you know, imagine pulling up and you see something like this on the property. How cool would that be? Just kind of a 3D rendering of what this, and instead of t-shirts, everybody gets a blue car when they make it first time. We'll see what happens. Just prophesy, just let it happen. Get me a new car. We have another picture of the back of the building. You get a yellow car if you came in through the back. But I'm telling you, what I want today is really, do you just get starting some of that joy in your heart? Like that smile that's on your face right now. I want the joy of the Lord to be your strength as we start this next season for these next 5 years. Because I really believe that's kind of what God has just put on our hearts. In fact, today we have these out there. We finally have Blaze Church coffee mugs. Thank Jesus. So if you have the TCC coffee mug, you can use that as a relic. But now we have some Blaze Church. And then even on this side, look at this. It's got five and grace and favor. I really just wanted to put something in your hands that tomorrow morning, and you even got a biscotti. Come on, somebody. You're just going to have a nice coffee tomorrow morning. But when you drink from this, I really want, with every sip, I mean this, I want you to just thank you, Lord, for your grace and favor. Just thank you that you have called me and positioned me to be part of what you're doing through Blaze Church. Now, I don't know if one of the gifts of the Spirit is the ability to read thought bubbles, but I can see what you're thinking right now. It's not. Let me just clarify that. But maybe you're wondering, well, how much is that mug? And now it sounds like this is a money day. And I want you to hear it. This isn't about a money day at all. In fact, we're so committed to that here. Like, we've been doing giving boxes before it was a thing to do. We've always just had just give and worship God without any pressure. And so these are actually free. This is not something that you're going to go out to the table and exchange money for this. We've really felt it in our hearts to say, we want to make sure that every person has an opportunity to say, I want to partner with what God is doing through Blaze Church. And so as you take this, inside you'll see there's ways that you can give. There's a giving envelope, and there's a card that shows you how you can give online. But here's what I'm asking, and I'm really speaking to you if I'm your pastor, like this is your church, that I want you to take very seriously this week time as you drink coffee or whatever you put in there, and I want you to pray a simple prayer. Holy Spirit, show me what you're calling me to give. Just show me what you're calling me to give. And because today what we're launching is what we're calling our Blaze Beyond Fund. So right now we just have one fund. We have our general fund, and through it we give to missions through it. In fact, church, you're so radically generous. We don't give away 10%. We're right now giving about 14% of our income away. That's worth celebrating. I mean, we just want to keep be a blessing because God just keeps giving. But now we're saying we want to create this fund where those who say, Blaze Church is my church, and I want to go above into what Scripture might say an offering. Like, this is above what God is saying, bring back to me. This is me saying, I want to give even more into what God is going to do. And so there's a Blaze Beyond Fund that's now set up. Now, I do want to just give you a little bit of instruction. And so again, if I'm your pastor, this is kind of when I'm just talking directly to you, and then we're all going to come back. But this is not where if you're tithing right now, you just split the difference and say, I'm going to get me a mug by doing 5% here and 5% there, or whatever your percent is. Hear my heart on that. This isn't just saying, well, I'm already giving, so I'm just going to change the designation from general to Blaze Beyond. This building still exists, and there are still needs that are present in this building. And in fact, as I was talking to other pastors moving into this season, that was the biggest thing that they brought up was saying, you know, when you launch a secondary fund, oftentimes what was here before you started and then you launch another one, it tends to do one of these. And I get it because some of you, you actually have the gift of generosity from the Holy Spirit. We call that our legacy team here. Like when you hear a specific need like this, you are all in. You're just saying, just tell me how I can pay for the walls in the building. Like, how can I make sure that there's parking spaces? But hear my heart, we want to continue to be the church that God's calling us to be, and at the same time now start to trust God and move in this direction, because God's will is that his house would be full. And we are called as his servants to go and compel people to come in and to know him. And I'm just so excited for what God is going to do through us. We really are a team here. Like, if this is your church, you're on this team. And so for every person, including, like, if you're married, take one each, because I don't want to start marital fights over the Blaze mug tomorrow morning. So that everybody, he's already looking for his wife right now. He's like, you hear that? I'm getting my own mug. Everybody, take your own mug, and that we want you to take these. Now, don't take it for your cousin who's not here, okay? That's stealing. Invite them to church, and then they can come get and partner if they want to be a part. It's like, oh, Christmas is coming up, and I can get me and my family some mugs. That's not this, okay? This is you, and maybe you are visiting, but you say, you know what, I visited that church, and I really want to just start giving to the Blaze Beyond Fund. That's really what this is about. But I believe God's going to do something through our church. And let me say this, and the team's going to join me. Come on up, worship team. This is not just for us, and it's really not just for today. I truly believe that what God is stirring in our hearts today, October 4, 2020, is for 1,000 generations. Come on, I believe that. I believe that this isn't, I'll say it this way, this really isn't about you. It's really about the person in your life who doesn't know Jesus yet. It's about your child that you've been praying for, that they would come to know Christ. It's about your neighbor that you want to invite out. And that's why we're so committed to creating dynamic weekend environments where the Holy Spirit can move and where people can go from dead to alive. And now we're understanding that realistically, this building is a cap. It is. I mean, just so you know, what you see right now, this is the third time it's looked like this today. Like the 9 a.m., the 10:15, the 11:30 is just, we got people in folding chairs right now so we can just fit it. And so we know that God is saying, man, my blessing is on you, and now it's time to start blazing beyond. And it's not just for us, it's for our children, it's for your grandchildren, it's for those who don't know him yet. So we're gonna sing this song as we conclude our service called The Blessing. May his favor be upon you. May his face shine on you. May you be a blessing to other people. May the Holy Spirit stir your heart as you take that mug home with you today. I want to invite you, just hang around. Spend some time with each other. We've got a fresh pot of coffee just for the 11:30. So you're not getting old coffee. We're getting some good coffee. We have cupcakes out there, a photo booth, and the Blaze mugs. But let's just have some community with each other. But most importantly, I want to speak to you if you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life today. Maybe you're trying to get into the wedding banquet and you're trusting in yourself, and now you're hearing something that says, "Man, you're not good enough, but you are loved enough. You're way more sinful than you'd ever admit about yourself, but you're way more loved in Jesus than you could ever hope for." And today the gospel is going towards your heart and it's stirring you, and now there's a moment to respond. There's a moment to take off the filthy rags and to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, and to trust that he took your place on that cross so that you might believe in him and be brought to life today. And so I'm going to ask everyone in this space to stand with me right now and just put that mask back on as we get ready to sing and worship, if you wouldn't mind doing that. But I want to lead you in a prayer. Maybe you've never prayed before, but something in you is stirring to cry out to a God who loves you, who made you, who has a plan for you. And so don't make these just be words that you say, but may they be prayer from your heart. So with every head bowed and eye closed, let's say this. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Thank you for making me new. I surrender to you today. I'm putting on Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, can we celebrate with heaven right now as people are putting their faith in him and saying, I don't want to trust in me. It's not just a prayer. We want to celebrate with you. And so before you leave, make sure you see me outside. I have a resource I want to give you to say that God has a plan for your life. But now we're going to sing this song together, and then we're going to party some more outside. So be sure to hang around. But let's just declare this, his favor upon us, his grace upon us. Blaze Church, I'm so grateful that God has called us to do this in this community. The best truly is yet to come. This is the start of something new. Come on, let's worship Jesus with everything we have.